Today's message is brought to us by Pastor Stan Miyamoto. Have a Do Not Fear Christmas. And I kind of wanted to share, Stan, can I share since I was preparing?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I had a feeling you're going to talk about like Joseph, so I was like, okay. So I did some of my homework, and I just came across this song. I don't know if you guys heard it, by Michael Card, Joseph's Song. And I think it relates very well with Pastor Stan's message today. Okay, it goes like this. How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he is not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be a father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair, and when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. How can it be? I appreciate when we can add certain things that bring dimension to the scriptures, to historical narratives. A lot of the scripture is historical narrative. It doesn't prescribe things for us, but it describes what's going on, and through that description, God is communicating a message to us. And we often have to look into that story in order to see it, and I really thank you for that recitation. I love Michael Card's music. It's so thoughtful and kind of helps you to enter into people's lives, kind of like I'll let you enter into my life right now and kind of like go into Christmas. I've always enjoyed Christmas, and yet Christmas has always had a number of mixed feelings for me. As we come to Christmas, you know, you sing the songs about Santa Claus, and I remember the days we went to a Christmas program with my cousin at Highlands Intermediate, and we're talking about here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right? That, and then, you know, he's got a boatload of toys for the boys and girls and things. And then you hear, you know, he's going to be looking on you and watching if you're good or bad or good. And so I always wondered if I'm going to be good or not. So as Christmas came around, I had a little bit of fear if I was going to be good or not. I wasn't sure. And lo and behold, I guess I was good enough because Santa Claus brought me some gifts. And early on, it was toys. Later on, it was shirts and shoes and things like that. But then I would give gifts. I got to a place where I would give gifts. And guess what? I had misgivings about, is the person going to like this gift? You're kind of afraid, and you're thinking, you're overthinking this thing. And there's fears. And we just seem to be people who have fears everywhere we go. Something, the best of things, has some downside to it that we get this place of fear. I looked up this thing, a list of fears, and I got lots of different hits, Google hits. Fear, by the way, is the word phobia. The Greek word is phobia. So that's in the Bible, too. So you probably have heard of some of these. There's fear of heights. What is that one called? Something. Fear of heights. Okay, spiders. How many of you have a fear of spiders? And you just see them? How about geckos? You have a fear of geckos? I know some people have fear of geckos. There's claustrophobia. You folks are familiar with that one, in confined spaces. There's hydrophobia. Did you know that there's hydrophobia, fear of water? And who knows what nomophobia is? Nomophobia. You know... You look up nomophobia, it's Stephen Lathrop Lee. No, I'm just... Do you really? You do. That's right. Look back at Steve over there. Do that. It's fear of phones. Fear if you don't have a phone. It's a fear if you don't. So, I know that more and more of you are having fear of not having your phone nowadays. That's a growing thing, especially when you text and social media and your phone calls and everything is done through your phone, right? There's zoophobia or zoophobia. That's something my family doesn't have because we are the zoo. Social phobias are really the most common. And that's really the idea that generally it's about being self-conscious when you're with other people. And today we understand that Christmas time represents peace in the world, peace and goodwill, and all these good things that God brings to us. But there is still a lot of fear, even at that first Christmas. And so if you're here today and you're experiencing some fear, some kind of fear, some kind of misgiving, realize that that's part of our human condition, but that's part of the reason Jesus Christ came. God's word to many people that experienced fear on that first Christmas was, do not fear. Do not be afraid. And so that's why we're here today. That's the title of our message here. Have a do not fear Christmas. Father in heaven, we come before you today placing our fears on the altar. It seems like everywhere we turn, there's something to kind of drag us down. There's something to taint even the best of joys. So, Father, remind us, Lord, that you came to bring joy. Not only that, you came to call us to a place of security as you ring out your voice through angels saying, do not be afraid. We receive your word today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. On that first Christmas, people experienced all kinds of fears. And I'm just going to go do a quick review of these things. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were an older couple. He was really faithful to the Lord, but they didn't have children. And so when the angel came to him and said, you're going to have a child, it's like, I don't know if I can do that. You know, I've just experienced so much failure in this area. I believe that Zechariah and Elizabeth had this like a fear of failure. God, don't give me that kind of promise. My heart just can't take another failure. Inadequacy. Virgin Mary. She was a virgin. When the angel said she's going to have a child, she said, "How can that be? Virgins don't have children." And there's the social stigma as well attached to that. And Joseph, imagine Joseph being in Joseph's position. He loves Mary, and yet here, they didn't even have sexual relations, but here she is, and she's pregnant. And then she says, oh, but the baby is the Son of God, and I'm a virgin. What? Can you believe what's going on in Joseph's heart? Yeah, tell that story to your next fiancé, you know. So he was actually of the mind, I'm out of here. This woman was unfaithful to me. I'm going somewhere else. But he loved her, and so he was going to put her away quietly. Imagine that, though. And so can you imagine the heartbreak of being cheated on? He didn't know about this yet at that time, that the baby was indeed supernaturally conceived. But can you imagine his heartbreak? Of course, there's even Herod experienced fear when he heard the child was born. Herod was afraid, and all Jerusalem with him, the Bible says. And of course, the shepherds were afraid. They were startled out of their wits by this bright light on a night that was clear and beautiful, and yet they were startled out of their wits because of the appearance of the angels. God's word to them was, do not fear. Speaking to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Matthew writes, but after Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, the angel speaks to Zechariah. In verse 12, it says, when Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." This would be, he would go on to be John the Baptist. Zechariah's son is John the Baptist. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. In Luke chapter 1, verse 29. The angel appears to Mary and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Yikes, what if an angel came to you and said that? Okay, Mary is a little disturbed. In verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 9, as the shepherds appeared in dazzling glory, an angel, and the shepherds are watching their sheep, and the angel appeared in dazzling glory. It says in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. By the way, that's the word phobia. All of us come here with fears. Every last one of us has fears. What kinds of fears have you experienced? I remember once in intermediate school, and this would only happen once, I was asked to be on this game show kind of thing. You know how they have these mock game shows? And I was one of the people up in front. When I was sitting there, I remember sitting there on a chair and thinking, what am I doing here? What am I doing? I was petrified. And then the microphone came to me and I had to answer some question. Oh, I was just, my whole body was, I just wanted to hide in a crack somewhere. Now, you would not know that about me because I'm up here all the time. But there are things like that. I heard it in a list one time, the fear of public speaking is a greater fear than the fear of dying. Can you imagine that? And for some people, it is. Maybe your fear is the disheartening news from your doctor. Maybe the prognosis recovery gives you a certain amount of time. And that brings up some fear. Maybe you're afraid of people knowing the real you. That you're afraid of people knew the real you, they wouldn't like you. And so we're tempted to hide. So the question is here, how do you have a do not fear Christmas? The angel came and said, "Do not fear." Well, it's easy to say. It's another thing to actually do that. But there's a way to do this. And so I want to just offer this to you. And I just want us to note that how fears create an insecurity in our hearts. It's a sense of well-being that's threatened now by this outside threat. It might be actually an outside threat, or it could be an inside threat. Sometimes the threats come from within, don't they? So when the angel says, "Do not fear," we can follow the Lord and allow that control, loss of control and insecurity. We can regain some of that by hearing and doing what the Lord says here. So we can have a do not fear Christmas. First of all, if you want to write notes, take notes in your notes page. You can write a few of these down. First of all, have a do not fear Christmas when you obediently trust in God. Obediently trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." So, when we think about Joseph, what did Joseph do when he was terrified at what the angel said? Terrified at Mary's condition of expecting a baby, and she was not even, he had not even had sexual relations with her. That's got to rock your world. But the Lord said, "Go and do not be afraid to take Mary into your home, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And the Bible says, just a few verses later, it says, so Joseph did what the angel said and took Mary into his home. In the midst of our fear, the best thing we want to do is to confront our fear with obedience and trust in God. Zechariah went from fear, a feeling of a failure and disappointment of not having children, to being the father of the greatest prophet since Elijah, John the Baptist. In fact, more people know about John the Baptist, the name of John the Baptist, than Elijah. I mean, Elijah's a neat name to have, but not too many people really know anything about him. But John the Baptist, wow, we know that name. Elizabeth, in Luke chapter 1:25, Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, had the baby, and then her baby in her older years. And here's what she says. She says, the Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Oftentimes we're living in our fears, inner fears that we don't share with anybody, is that we're living in a state of disgrace among people. And that person is judging me in some way. And God has done this and has worked this out in Elizabeth's life to take away her disgrace. Mary went from the fear of social rejection, and so did Joseph, to being a place where Joseph and Mary are the revered and highly placed couple. So that in Christmases, 2,000 years later, we're thinking about Joseph and Mary. And we have nativity scenes. We have the baby, and we have Joseph and Mary. Can you imagine what would have happened? Joseph had the choice. The angel said, do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary into your home. He had the choice. He could have rejected her. Can you imagine what that would have been like? A lot of things would have been different today. I think we would admit that, right? We can have a do not fear Christmas, first of all, by obediently trusting in God. We can also have a do not fear Christmas by seeing God's good conclusion. Seeing God's good conclusion. Every one of these little stories, these little mini stories in the Christmas narrative here, has a conclusion. In Luke, this is how Zechariah, after his child was born, this is what he wrote. He wrote in Luke chapter 1:68, he said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. In verse 76, Luke 1:76, he says, and you, my child, speaking to his baby John, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Doesn't that sound like a proud father? But you know, he had to go through this time of confronting his fears. God had to speak words of encouragement into his life, and he had to agree with the plan of God. For those who trust God, there is always a wonderful conclusion. It might not be the conclusion you envisioned. Maybe you, like Joseph, would have had all your ideas of what your family was going to be like, only to have all of that shattered by some direction that God gave you that you did not want. But if you see that God has a good conclusion, then you're able to say, wow, okay, my fears, I still have fear, but you know what? I'm going to trust God. And God can work despite my fears, and God will still use us. So we can have a do not fear Christmas by obediently trusting God. We can have a do not fear Christmas by seeing God's good conclusion. We can also have a do not fear Christmas by putting God above people, putting your fear of God above your fear of people. We already know that most of the fears we have in life have to do with social fears, this interaction. A lot of people are afraid of what people are going to think about them. And we see the characters of the Christmas story feeling stuck between their fears of what people will think and what God wants to use them for on this most famous birthday of all. You know, living to please others is a really terrible trap to be in. You really get trapped into that if you're trying to please others. Some people are still trying to please their parents, and their parents died a long time ago. Mean to go down the wrong path because they bow to pressures from friends. They're afraid of what their friends are going to think of them, so they take this path that leads them the wrong way. Maybe fear of rejection by your peers. Everybody seems to have a plan for your life. I remember feeling terrified because my boss asked me, this is a long time ago, asked me to do something that was illegal. I shared this story before, but I'll share it to you because it was a traumatic time in my life. So I was one of the assistants to my boss, and he asked me to make a photocopy of this particular training material, and he wanted me to make 30 or 35 of them so he can take the whole agency through it. And I said, I thought about that and had like a week to do it. And I just wrestled inside. And I thought, you know, that's not right. This whole thing is copyrighted. And we're not supposed to copy it and just use it like that. But I feared the Lord more than I feared my boss. So long story short, I went into my boss and said, I need to talk to you about this. And I said, boss? I didn't say that, actually. But he was my boss. I know you asked me to do this, but I can't do this. It's not legal for me to do this. It's not right. If you really want this done, I will, and you want it for free, I will pay for it. You order it, and I'll pay for it. I said that to my boss. And, of course, he didn't make me copy the thing anymore. I can't really remember what happened after that. It was so traumatic. But sometimes following the Lord is extremely traumatic. But there's a good conclusion that happens. So we can have a do not fear Christmas by obediently trusting in God. We can see God's good conclusion, put God above people, and finally have a do not fear Christmas by knowing that God loves you. The whole of the Christmas story flows from God's love. John 3:16, which is beloved by the whole, seems like the whole world, football season time, you often see this sign, John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. All people need love. Many people do not get it. Many people have this void in their heart, this hole in their heart. They did not get the love that humans need. Maybe through upbringing or whatever it might be. Maybe they didn't get the love in certain kinds of interactions at school, and what they got was childish insults and degradations and beatdowns. But they didn't get the love. Sometimes we hold on to those experiences for a long, long time, even after the person is no longer around. But God wants us to know this, that God loves you. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Whose love is more perfect than God's? Nobody's love is more perfect than God's. And I hope today as we go into the Christmas season that you will understand more and more the perfect love of God. And you can receive that love of God. All of these fears that we have, just countless fears, really are summed up in this one song. Beloved Christmas Carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. One line in that song, one line says, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee, Jesus Christ, tonight. The book of John says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When you receive God and His plan, when you obediently trust in God, He overrides your fears. Your fears don't all disappear or vanish, but He overrides them and He becomes stronger than your fears. When you see God's good conclusions, your fear melts because now you can see the good things that God can do. You're not really sure of at this side of the timeline, but you know God and you know how He's worked in other people's lives, and you know that if you follow God, it's going to be a good conclusion. That much you can know about God. When we put God above people, we're no longer trapped by our fears. But we're free. God actually frees us up from the shackles of this world. When we know that God loves us, God's love overcomes that fear, casts out that fear. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't have any fears. So make peace with the fact that you're going to have fears. Don't expect to go out of here and say, okay, I'm done with fear. No, it's not going to happen. Just know that every time you encounter fear, God is ready to move in with His marvelous plan. And His plan is, fear not. Do not be afraid. There are a couple of people I like to talk to here, not individuals, but groups of people. You might be a believer here, and you have experienced these fears. And you know that when you obey Christ, when you are able to look beyond the here and now to a good conclusion in the future, when you put God above people, your love for God above your love for people, and you know the full love of God, that you will be released from your fears. You know that. Being a Christian doesn't deliver you from your fears. Practicing the things that God has for you does. Now, maybe you're here and you're not a believer. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the place to begin. And I would like to lead you in a prayer if you'd like to pray that with me. If you're in a place where you say, Lord, I want to understand the spirit of Christmas more. I want to trust You and obey You. I want to know that there's a good conclusion. There's going to be a good conclusion here somehow in the mess of my life and my family. If you want to know that you can not be afraid of all the people around you, but know that God is your Lord and you answer to God and want to have that confidence in that way, and if you want to know that God loves you, the place to start is by receiving Jesus Christ. As we do that, I'd like us to bow our heads. Father in heaven, it's a wonderful reminder that what we experience today is like what the most famous characters in the Christmas story have experienced. But Lord, your word of encouragement, your word of security is, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. And as Jesus is born into the world, I pray that we would follow the things that help us to overcome our fears. Lord, we know that You could take away our fears completely, and sometimes You do. Sometimes You don't. I pray, Lord, regardless, that we would follow the things that You want us to do. And Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know You, have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and if you're here today and you want to know that kind of life, the do not fear kind of life, and you want to have a do not fear Christmas, I'm going to lead you in this prayer today, and you pray this with me. Lord Jesus, just as surely as You came into the world all those years ago, come into my life. Be the light in my life. Lord, remove the fears, override the fears, dissipate the fears through Your love, through my obedience to you, through my devotion to you above people, through my being able to see how you work marvelous things in the world and in my life. I trust in you now, Jesus, and I place my faith in you. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I receive you into my life. If you have never received Jesus before, but you've received him now, congratulations to you. God now calls you a child of God. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for sharing with us through the lives of real people your word for us to conquer fear that we face. Thank you that even though the coming of Jesus brought certain kinds of fear, likewise, that overcomes all fears so that we can truly live in freedom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.